And we are back, and I am joined now on stage with Corporate Vice President. This is new.
This is new.
This is new. Yeah. Alex Simon, it's good to see him, sir.
Thanks, Joey.
I have to call him sir. I work for the guy.
No, no.
Which is why this interview is going to completely go into the tank, as is my next review. Alex, you are dealing with identity.
That's right.
And at this event, we have made a lot of noise, as evident by the booth traffic.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Absolutely crazy, crazy busy, along with a lot of folks who've been coming up here and talking about various things. But I want to kind of give the high-level overview of all the announcements that we have had here at Microsoft Ignite. And I'm going to start with the question, what did a password do to you?
It's not so much what a password did to me, it's what a password does to all my friends and all my customers. Right? Like, look, passwords, we know from all kinds of research, passwords are the weak link. Right, that's the way. In fact, 81% of corporate attacks, right, successful corporate attacks, happen because of a weak account. Usually, either it's a bad password or it's a password that got phished or something like that. But basically, passwords are outdated, and users hate them. IT hates them. Yep. The only people who love them, hackers, love passwords because it's a really easy place to get into a corporate network.
But passwords are easy. I mean, it's really easy for me to just have a username and a log on, and it reduces some of the complexity. I mean, that's at least the opinion of some of the old school IT guys, right?
Yeah. Well, look, here's the thing. I think that I wouldn't say the passwords are easy, right? Passwords are familiar.
Ah, good.
Right?
Okay, good.
So we all know how to use it. You know, you get to that forum, you know what you do, and you can speed through it. However, right, that, first of all, if you're going to remember a whole bunch of unique passwords, which is really what we need, you as a human, if you're going to do passwords right, we need you to know 60, 70, 80 unique passwords. Yeah, and not have them on sticky notes. So that's one thing. That's bad. But even worse, like, how many times have you failed typing a password in on your smartphone? Right? As we go to small form factors, which is increasingly common, you know, a lot of people, that's your primary, your primary computing experience now. As you go to those small form factors, passwords are horrible. How many times do you have to re-enter a password to get it right on that form factor?
Oh, yeah.
So they're bad, right? They're hard to remember. They're hard to enter, right? And yet they're easy to hack. It's the that's a bad combination.
So what's the passwordless story? I mean, how does that, is it going to be hard for us to get into?
No, so that's what we're looking for. We're doing this search, right? So the first thing I want to say is, look, even though usernames and passwords are bad, if you can add an MFA to that, some kind of MFA challenge, either an SMS to your phone, or you've got the Microsoft Authenticator app and you just push to do it, or even if you go to Oath Tokens, right? Like, those are not easy to use. None of those things is like super easy to use, but it does cut your risk of getting hacked dramatically. In fact, our telemetry and studies show us that you're about 1,000 times less likely to get hacked if you've turned on any kind of MFA than you are if you haven't, right? So everybody should at least do that.
Yeah,
but I
sure.
think of that as like, look, we had something that was kind of hard to use and not very secure, and now we've made it, well, it's really secure, but it's harder to use, it's even more hard to use, mm-hmm. right? We really need something that's kind of over here. It's got to be like super secure and super easy to use. So that's all the things we announced this week, was all the work we're doing to get people to a passwordless secure future.
Okay.
Right? So the biggest news this week was our turning on of passwordless authentication using the Authenticator app for Microsoft, right? So now I can go to any PC, any Mac, any device, right, and log in, and all I have to do is put in my username, my phone buzzes, I use my finger or my face, I got it, or your watch, I get authenticated and I'm in, and there was no need to type in a password. Right? And so that's a really great option for going passwordless. And it's a nice complement to Windows Hello. Like, Windows Hello, like, if you think about that, that's our premium kind of passwordless experience.
Sure.
Right? So you just walk up, it sees your face or uses your fingerprint. And behind the scenes, that's...
I love this. How this works.
The thing that's funny is you would think that that's just a nice... end user feature. But under the covers, it's industrial grade encryption.
Yep.
So what's happening is, when I put my fingerprint down, let's say, that's on my device, I put my fingerprint down, it unlocks the TPM on the PC, and the TPM is holding a private key that's been generated for me, and the public key for that is up in the cloud in Azure AD. So when I want to log in, all that happens is I say, the PC or the client says, hey, I want to log in. The service sends back a nonce and says, okay, well, sign this for me. You take the private key I have locally is used to sign the nonce. The nonce gets sent back to the cloud, and the cloud uses the public key to check it and say, oh yeah, that really is Alex, right? Let him in.
And so what the biometric is doing is just unlocking the ability to do the
signature.
That's right.
We love that because, first of all, it keeps the biometric local to the device.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about it floating around out there in the cloud. Right, and in addition, then we've got really nice public key, private key encryption going on to prove who you are, and it's tied to that specific device. So even if a bad guy could get in the middle and grab it and replay it, it wouldn't be useful because it's not tied to that device.
And that same thing is holding true with my phone when
that's right.
My
thumbprint and my face open. That's right. Yep. And then the other thing we announced is that in January we'll turn on a public preview for FIDO 2.0 based authentication for Windows 10. Right, so that's a public standard. It's based on that same pattern we use for Hello and for the Authenticator app. Now we're working on a public standard. We've been working on it for years with everybody in the industry, Google, Facebook, eBay, PayPal, Bank America, Yubico, it's hundreds of companies we've been working with to get this public standard going. And we're now at the point where the standard has been adopted, and now the browsers have all picked it up, and now finally we're going to be able to have a version of a Windows PC where you can just log in using, a security key, or a couple manufacturers are working on things that look like rings and things that look like badges, but sure, they all use this same pattern so that you get a passwordless, super secure experience, right, for being able to log into a Windows PC and into any of the services it's connected to.
So that's awesome in terms of connecting to a PC, a Microsoft service. Let's talk about apps in general.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got this for Office 365 and really Microsoft 365. What about other applications?
Yeah, so what's great is Azure Active Directory is completely based on open standards, right? There's no way to interoperate with Azure AD that doesn't use something like OAuth2 and OpenID Connect or SAML, right? And if you want to write an application that pulls data from the directory, you use the Microsoft Graph, right? And that's just, a RESTful endpoint, and you get back JSON. It's just like that's totally open modern standards, right? So you can use Azure AD to connect to almost any application. But the nice thing is that we also come with a whole bunch of applications pre-built for integration, right?
Okay.
We have more than 600 applications that now we can do federated SSO with. And customers and partners have brought a ton more. So there's, last month, about 654,000 non-Microsoft applications authenticated a user using Azure Active Directory.
Wow.
Yeah, using a federation flow. Right, so now we've got this huge, huge web of third-party apps that people can use with the directory. So it's no longer really just about, hey, how do I manage Office 365 and Azure? Now you can use all of those controls. You can use the passwordless things we just talked about. You can use our MFA service. But even cooler, you can use the conditional access system, right, and use that to not just control access to Office applications in Azure, but now to any of the applications you want. And we see every month, people use ServiceNow, they use this with Google Apps, they use this with Concur, they use this with every major application you can think of in the cloud. Right? In fact, last month we authenticated 20 million unique users to some third-party application in the cloud. So it's really taking
off.
Not
even ours.
No, not ours. Somebody else's application, right? So that's, I think, the power that we're seeing is you can take the cool things in conditional access, use them to control and kind of regulate your entire estate. And so when we talk about identity as the new control plane, in a world where your corporate network doesn't really secure you anymore, right? Your corporate network is kind of this shrinking asset because you've got more and more assets in the cloud, you've got people with more and more devices, right, they all want to connect, right? We really believe in kind of this zero trust networking approach where essentially you just say, hey, look, you know what? Every device, there's no reason to trust it. Just get it off your corporate network and manage it like it was a phone or whatever, right? And so let's get it MDM managed, let's get it hooked up to Azure Active Directory, and then we can use the directory to set conditional access policy. So, hey, when you're at home on an unmanaged PC, maybe you can get to the employee handbook. That's great, nobody cares, right? But you certainly can't get to the SEC reports.
Yeah.
Right? And so you can set all of those kinds of conditions in Azure AD using our conditional access policy. And because all the teams across Microsoft 365 are working together on this, you can do really rich things. Like you can say, oh, the device has to be Intune managed. It has to have Windows Defender ATP reporting that it's a clean device. It has to come in from these set of known IP addresses. It has to have a really good identity protection risk score. And then finally, when it comes in, you can even limit the capabilities it gets in Office. For instance, like in Exchange now, you can put Exchange into limited access mode, right? So if it looks a little risky or maybe it's an unmanaged PC, you can say, oh, you can't use the normal Outlook client, but you can use OWA, but you can't download, you can't print, you can't do any of those things, right? So that's the kind of the power of the conditional access system.
And even a scenario where if you think something is risky, tracking it
Yes.
Going, hey, look, we think that something risky was here. Let's just track that they downloaded an attachment, for instance, and being able to look at that, which leads to the next piece.
Yeah.
So we've covered off, you know, the password list and some of the MFA stuff. But now I work a lot with our partners. And one of the big things that has just, you know this because I'm always sending you email, is the governance piece.
Yeah.
We need governance, particularly because there are a lot of industries which are doing a ton of compliance and the governance piece sits on top of it. What are the things that we've started working on from the governance perspective?
Yeah. So we've heard this from a lot of customers, right? Like, it's great to have the security of Azure Active Directory. It's great to have all of the cool productivity benefits, that, you know, users being able to get things from anywhere. But how do I govern this? How do I make sure that the right people immediately get access to what they need to, but that the wrong people don't, and that when you change jobs or you leave the company, we can immediately remove you, right? And that we can prove to our auditors that all these things actually happen, right? Like, we want to make sure for our compliance officers that we're really doing the right things to protect data, particularly in the world of GDPR, right, where access to customer data has become so much more regulated, right, that we really have to have those kinds of controls. So we announced this week that we're building our own set of governance controls right into Azure Active Directory. Those will be in public preview in January. And we showed off a whole bunch of those this week. So you can do, for instance, automated things like having application packages. So that's like a group of resources that someone could have access to. So it could be groups, it could be apps, it could be printers, things like that. And so when they first come into Azure AD, they would go to the access request page and they'd say, oh, well, based on my role, I can see these are the things that are available to me. They would click to request access. Let's say you're a salesperson, right?
Yep.
You probably need access to the CRM system. There's probably some set of marketing materials that you need access to. You need access to all the white papers, right? So you can click. There's an approval workflow to make sure that you get approved by your boss or whoever owns the application. That's all logged. You get automatically provisioned into those applications. And then every year or so, right, you can set a policy that says how frequently do you have to reattest, right? And go back and check and make sure that that person is still in the right role and that they still need that access.
Yeah, because I could have moved to marketing.
No, that's right. If you move around, we can automate the moving around, but you also want to just check and do a cleanup step to say, okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Let's make sure all the things that got closed down should. Especially if you're having partners, if you're using Azure Active Directory business to business,
yep.
Right? When you have partners coming in, they can request access, but you could put much tighter controls around that, right? So if you know that someone's coming in and they're going to work on a project that's only 6 months long,
yep.
Well, you can just set it so it cuts off their access immediately after 6 months, unless their sponsor approves an extension.
Right. And then you've got that ability to go in and as you stated, the validation piece is key. It's always been the hardest is proving to the auditors,
yes.
Going through those compliance audits, this happened.
That's right.
And this is a process that we've got in place with the help of the technology, because it used to be a very, very manual process to go through and do all of that.
Yeah. So now we've given you both ends of it, right? So we've given you the tools to automate the process and make sure that it's happening, but then all of the data that you need to prove that it actually happened is available and nicely formatted so that your auditors can get to it and really prove, yeah, you did do the right thing. And then we're using our machine learning systems to look at all of the behaviors, right? So all the things that people are doing and point out to you where there might be problems, right? So even though you're following the right pattern, let's say somebody all of a sudden is in a role and they have a lot more access than other people in similar roles to them. We'll be able to highlight that to you, right? So that you can go maybe run an access campaign or take action to bring their access back into the right range.
So with that, is there going to be some, and I'll surprise you with this question, we didn't talk about it beforehand, but the role-based stuff, the role-based access control, is there more work there in that path to kind of get a little more granular into that stuff that we can kind of help our customers with?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're actually adding a whole bunch of new role-based controls, right?
Okay.
So the first thing this week was we announced that we've turned on role-based conditional access policies.
Oh.
Right, so for any conditional access policy, you can go in and you can apply it to people in a specific role. And that's really good, especially if you're thinking about people who are running and maybe they're administrators,
yeah.
Or they have high privileges in Azure, right? Like some DevOps people going on or whatever. Now you can set conditional access policies that apply just to people in those roles, right? So that's a really powerful thing. We've added a whole bunch of new roles. Right. In fact, if you go look in conditional access, you can see the list is getting really granular so that you can do much finer grained, delegation of capabilities out to people. Right.
Getting away from global admin.
No, that's right. We want to get you away from global admin. Right. Mm-hmm. And then all of those roles then can also be managed using the Azure AD PIM. Right. So any role in Azure, any role in Office, any role in Azure AD, now you can use the Azure AD PIM for. So if it's a high privilege role, don't leave the person in it. right? Make them eligible to elevate into it, and then they have to come in, request to be elevated, maybe get an approval. They're in the role for however long you set, usually 3 hours,
yep.
And then they're automatically taken out of the role, right? That's a nice way to really cut down on your risk profile.
Sweet. Okay, breathe.
Woo.
We have to get the audience at home back to your session. You're going to want to stick around for more stuff happening right here on this stage. Lots of interviews coming up, but you've got another session to go to. Until next time, stay tuned for more Channel 9 Live from Microsoft Ignite in Orlando, Florida. Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, thanks, man.